significant. And this gets into the history of typography. And so the history of typography tells thousands of years of the fashioning of individual letters to communicate specific literary content. And it mitigates against these kinds of like appraisals or experiences of reading through a spoken voice. So instead of, you know, having to hear it orally, you can actually just kind of read it for yourself. So even a phonetic alphabet can't completely squelch performative expression. And Derrida, Jacques Derrida, argued in his writing Indifference that linear consecution moving from present point to present point could only tend to repress, in particular in so-called phonetic writing. Whereas picture writing, even though it was abstracted, it at least inspires an imaginary relationship between text and the things in the world. And so you could argue that the phonetic alphabet, in which words are kind of in lockstep, diminishes the kind of magical imaginary or the psychological content of words itself. You know, this is kind of what's interesting about like the Instagram grid is that, you know, you see all these things laid out and they're these squares, or now they're rectangles, and each one you associate it with a previous memory, whether it's an album cover, and you see it all consecutively and you're like, it actually creates a kind of schema in order to go off of, to figure out like, oh, where am I going to go next? And the fact that you can archive it and sort of like quietly change things up if you don't like the aesthetic or it associates with a kind of like sour or bad memory, I think that's also a really interesting way of the form. You know, I really think that that's kind of like one of the positives, as where when things are just kind of like scrolling downward, you know, it can feel really disorienting and take you out of your sorts, and it becomes hard to create kind of like an internal compass of like where to go from there. So basically, you know, even in the French Revolution, saying like Gilbert Rome's law is the religion of the state, it was central to the way in which the French Revolution saw itself. So the Magna Carta is, of course, a very sort of famous way of showcasing the limited authority of members of the British Crown. And so stuff like the French Declaration of the Rights of Man and Citizen were placed in these public spaces for general consumption during the French Revolution and beyond. And so you have Moses and the Ten Commandments. You have, to summarize all of this, although laws are not themselves a grid in the simple sense, the political and religious authority of the tablet grid endures a symbol of universal standards of justice. Next, we have the gridiron, which is basically how cities were arranged. And this is, I think, one of the most fascinating parts of this entire trajectory. So the brick module overshadowed the matter that held one to the next. Mortar was incidental, a mere connecting agent or negative space that glued together brick walls. It is to such tracery that we now turn our attention, though not in an exploration of the space between bricks, but in the space between brick structures, the alleyways, streets, marketplaces, and piazzas that traverse the and pepper many cities. In cities, buildings can be organized in a wealth of ways relative to one another. So they can be laid out for the sake of a military defense, like the concentric rings of Florence, or to reflect topography in Lima, Peru.